able to come and hear from God's Word. There are many different scripture verses that talk about spiritual gifts. And we began this series last week. And last week was finding out that you actually have one. This morning, we're talking about how we discover that and understanding how we use that. And as we do that, I want to come and read a scripture verse this morning that I'll be alluding to. But in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, so Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, reading to verse 16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Spirit of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waters and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of him who is the head, that is in Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does in its work. And it's kind of unique on alluding to this scripture verse, and I'm actually going to be referencing the scripture verse and using the scripture verse that Doreen had read this morning. But just how we did the presentation, the welcoming of membership. If you are not a member, here it shows the importance and how it is important of you are part of this body, becoming a member. You are an important, whether you're a finger, whether you're a toe, whether you're a head or an eye, all of us have a function to be able to build the church up and help it to grow. And we want you to be a part of it. We want to be able to know and your spiritual gifts and have you a part of using those gifts to help strengthen Sunrise Baptist Church. So if you're not a member, I want you to consider coming into membership. You can come and speak to me about what that entails and looks like. But as we've read God's Word, let's come together and ask his presence to be here. Our Heavenly Father, as you were here this morning in your Spirit welcoming us, allowing us to gather, Father, to come and praise you, and as you've heard our praises through our songs and in our prayers, Father, our supplication, we come now to open up our hearts and our minds to receive your word, to hear your voice, your instruction that would give guidance and wisdom and knowledge, that, Father, would spur us on to continue to show your love in our lives, to show you. I don't know about you, but I enjoy receiving gifts. I found that it's part of my love language. When I got married, there was a book that was given, and it's 5 love languages for couples. So you figure it out, what's the love language for your spouse, what's your love language, and so you can be communicating in a wonderful way that love language. And one of those of my love languages is receiving gifts, but outside of that, who doesn't like receiving gifts? What is it about gifts that you like? Well, I came up with 3 things. First, some gifts are desirable primarily because of the enjoyment that it brings. I received the last row, the very, very top of the Saddle Dome, hockey tickets to see Calgary and the Oilers play. Well, truly, they aren't the fabulous tickets, but the great joy that I had in receiving them is great. Then there's also the love of what it symbolizes. Your grandkids, your children, right? The tie that you get on Father's Day, the little picture that or card that you get from your daughter or son or grandkids on Mother's Day or at Christmas, the love that it symbolizes through those gifts. But then there's also the gifts that we receive that make us more effective as servants. Today we're looking at what is our spiritual gift, discovering what it is. And I'll allude to this later, but I'm just going to highlight it right now just so I don't forget, is that one of those aspects is taking a spiritual inventory. These are out in the foyer on the table. And if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, you're going to take time to walk through this and figure that out. And I'll allude to that at the end of the service. Discovering what it is. We spoke of this last week, that gifts or a gift that God and the Holy Spirit gives to his people. That you are important, that you have received this from the Holy Spirit. And although the Bible discusses in length in Corinthians and other long passages, there's two verses that I'm going to be focusing on this morning. 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11, and Romans 12, 4 to 5. Heard part of that this morning that Doreen had read. These verses help to lead us in discovering what are spiritual gifts and also understanding what is the use of those spiritual gifts. So starting off with, to find out what our spiritual gifts or gift are, we have to first know that we were crafted to be used by God. In 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, it shares this. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as a faithful steward of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that the God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. God has given each one of us at least one gift. And of course, there's lots of gifts to go around. A spiritual gift is a God-given ability to serve. Just as 1 Peter has alluded to, and also Ephesians 4. As is there's diversity within the Trinity, one God, three persons, there's also the diversity within the unity in the church. One body, many gifts. Turn with me to Ephesians 2, 10. Here it shares, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." See, here it looks at that we are God's workmanship, his poem, a masterpiece. And in Isaiah 64, 8, it shares, "And yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We all are formed by your hand. God has crafted, he's molded you, he's shaped you into who you are. Not just your eye color, not just your hair color, not just your size, big or small, but also your gifts." It was shared with me that a certain person does not take great joy in standing up front and speaking. Understandable. And that means God's not crafted that person to be a speaker to all. What Paul had in mind here is that at work, a masterful creativity, God has made you. You can already tell that this is where we get the English word poem from. Paul selected this word carefully. And what is Paul pointing towards? What is he alluding to? That God has a unique plan for our lives. Jeremiah 29, 11. "I have a plan for you." He wants us to use us to touch other people and make a difference in the church. There's always needs and there's always people around us. God wants to use that to be able to fulfill those needs, to touch and love those people, and be able to share Jesus Christ through them. He has, and if you haven't tapped into it yet, He has so much for you to do. So Peter doesn't want us to give in to the lies that you're not important. That's what was happening in the Corinthian church last week as I spoke. That I must be nothing because I don't have these special gifts of speaking in tongues. I must not be important because I don't have the gift of leadership. You're told that you're not talented as someone around you. It almost seems that you're the last one picked for the team. But this morning, Peter wants us to choose and believe what God says about you, that you are a beautifully and uniquely crafted person for good works, to do something. When you were saved, you were saved to serve, because He's given you unique gifts to do so. Continuing in 1 Peter, he then alludes to this, that we would come to understand about discovering our gifts, about being servants. In Ephesians 4:12, we were made for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. And in verse 10, in 1 Peter, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. In churches, there's two types of people. There's consumers and there's servants. Consumers say, I want a church that does this. Or they will say, I want a place where I can do this. Or the church is supposed to do this for me. Don't go to church with a shopping list. But as a servant, we ask, how can I help this church to be this? How can I make this place where people can do this or experience this? How can I give this to help the church? Go to church with a to-do list. There was a famous Super Bowl game between Pittsburgh Steelers and Arizona Cardinals. And it was from that game that Nicky Gumbel said these words. He said, the church is like a football game. There are 22,000 people in the stands in desperate need of exercise. And he said, and they're watching 22 people in desperate need of a rest. There's no spectators. There's no bench warmers in the kingdom of God. I was watching a video this past week, and it was a person speaking, and in the background, there was a bit of the foyer and a bit of the sanctuary that was being shown, and you just saw people moving and going. The church is a functioning entity of God in its community, and that's only possible if we are using those gifts. We must have a heart of a servant and an attitude, not a heart of a consumer. Not and thinking about what's in it for me kind of attitude. In Philippians chapter 2, 4-7, it says this. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. We should not ask, what can I get? We should ask, what can I give? Then Peter shares, as we discover about our spiritual gifts, that we carry a responsibility of being a faithful steward of those gifts. Peter used the word steward. A steward is, in a sense, manages resources that belong to someone else. Being entrusted with something valuable. It's an incredible privilege and an awesome responsibility. Whether it's one talent or five talents, as the parable speaks of. Whether it's one gift or many gifts, we have a responsibility to be a good steward of those gifts. We feel honored that someone would trust us with something valuable. I remember my grandfather entrusting my dad with his Corvette one summer. 1969. Hold that. Trust my father not to crash it, to take care of it and look after it. Our goal is to please the one who entrusts to us its valuable content. In Titus 2, verse 7, it says, "Show yourself in all aspects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity and dignity. You being faithful with what you have been given is so key to understanding your spiritual gift." Peter tells us that God has entrusted us with gifts that he's given to us. And he expects us to use those gifts for his purpose. That's what it means when he says that we are to be faithful stewards of God's grace. Together, we have the privilege of showing the grace of God to the church and to the world through our variety of gifts. When we serve, let's use God's gifts for God's purpose and give God the glory he so rightly deserves. We are his workmanship to do good works, to serve and help others, and strengthen others in the faith, to help build up the church. By having a servant's heart, we share God's grace through these gifts by being a faithful steward. Not through our own strength now that Peter alludes to. It's through God's strength. We can accomplish this. It's through the Holy Spirit that we receive the gifts, and it's by God's strength that we can serve. It shares that so that in all things, so in all things that you do, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. I like this quote from Pinckney. He says, "With spiritual gifts, you can know a lot about the giver. We display to others something of the character of God as we serve one another." Understanding that spiritual gift, we come now to discover what that spiritual gift is. We spoke of this last week in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 and 7. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. Spiritual gifts are given the ability, God-given ability, to do a task, to do some type of service. It allows you to do work of the ministry effectively as God leads, to help us to bless bless others. In Ephesians 5:16, it shares, make the most of every opportunity for doing good as in these evil days. Everyone I know across the board, whether believer or non-believer, all desires for our days, for our world, to be a more safer, more caring, more kind place to be. God is more concerned about our availability than our natural ability. Are you ready to be used? Sometimes the greatest ability we can have is being available. God has a calling and a gift for your life. The question is, will we commit to that purpose, to use that gift, to build up the church and honor Him with it? Here in Romans 12, 4 and 5, you've heard a good portion of that read this morning. It says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Each of us, if you haven't realized it, are all different. And each one of us, if you haven't realized it, all have different gifts and abilities. But the thing is, I don't know if you haven't realized it yet, we all belong together. We are a part and make up the church, one body. Came across a story that was shared about in World War II. After the war, a group of German students volunteered to go and help clean up and rebuild in London. And they were working on a cathedral in London. And it had been severely damaged by the bombings. And they did most of, they did most of the cleanup and rebuilding of the cathedral, except the statue of Jesus Christ. It had broken into many pieces. It was a marble statue, and it once stood high and above and a focal point in London. And the statue was Jesus Christ standing up with its arms extended out. So they decided to rebuild it and find all the parts. And at the base of the statue, it read this, "Come unto me." So, as they began to find the parts and reconstruct it, when they finished, they were able to reconstruct every part of that statue, except for its hand. The hands were totally demolished. So they had to decide, do we make new hands or do we leave it as it is? Well, they decided to leave it the way it was. And instead what they did was they changed the inscription at the base of the statue. And it read this, "He has no hands but ours." And that's on the statue. This day. He has no hands but ours. You always hear that reference that we are God's hands and we are His feet. We have gifts that we can be His hands and His feet. God has given each one of us the ability to do certain things well. If your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, do a good job teaching. If you're good at encouraging, you have money, giving, then share it generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, mercy, do it gladly. This is the scripture reference that Doreen had referenced and read this morning. So how can we discover our spiritual gifts? Well, here are some suggestions for you. First, find out what service is needed. Look around. Look at the church and find out, where could I help? You find out that it's not the best fit for you, then you can move on to something else. But it's important that you begin to search with a servant's heart. Then consider what you enjoy doing. If you don't enjoy teaching, don't teach. Don't assume that God's will is going to make you suffer and miserable. A spiritual gift inventory, again, that I alluded to, is out on the table, and encourage you. You take this inventory so that you can figure out, where might you fit? And in there, in that inventory, you answer questions to find out what you do enjoy. And then that directs you to give you some details and some examples of where you might be gifted. Then ask God for wisdom. This is so important and so key. In James 1:5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. If you're willing to serve, God will eventually reveal to you your area of giftedness. To be a humble servant means kneel before God and ask God, where do you want me to serve? Don't take it upon yourself to go, I'm going to go do this, without asking first. Then you are putting yourself before where may God want to use you. I found this to be very, very helpful through having people in my lives. There are people in your lives that know you very, very well, sometimes too well. But seek godly counsel. Church leaders, other Christian friends can help determine where you are gifted. Encourage you, prod you. So many times I have coached and I have seen players that are not the best players. In the middle or below the middle, but I see the potential. There's one girl that I coached on my daughter's team. I think she might have been around 10 years old, 11 years old. Incredible feat. Amazing dribbling the ball. I told her parents, said, you need to look at putting her into a club, not just community soccer. That girl carried on and went to be very, very successful at playing soccer. Because someone outside saw potential in her, a gift in her, ability that they never saw. They're like, she's 11. Yeah, but 11-year-old doesn't have feet like that. You may not realize that you might be an incredible teacher. Or an incredible person at doing one-on-one discipleship. Or being a singer. Number 5, don't just sit there. Do something. Again, we come to church to not be consumers, but to be able to be available and to be used by God, to be servants. Don't wait until you discover your gift. Start serving. Try out different things. It It's an active way of discovery. Then we come to the application. God wants you to discover and develop your gifts so that you can bless those around you. We have a spiritual gift inventory. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, go and walk through the inventory. It has all the questions in the front. The instructions for it are on the back. And then you have a little sheet that helps to score. And then in there, here, it has all the spiritual gifts. And some questions for you to kind of guide you and follow up on where those gifts you may have. If you have questions, or again, some others already know their spiritual gifts. Some people have done these before. So ask, have you done this? Or do it together with someone. Figure it out together. Even pass this on if you want an email copy. Pass this on to a friend and say, could you do this on my behalf? And see what, as you know me, and figure out what my gifts might be. It's having them speak into your life. Then, what do you want to do for the church? How do you want to build up each person that's in this room? Encouraging them, to help them grow and mature in their faith, to help the church grow in unity. We need to delight in these spiritual gifts that we've been given and make the most out of them. Because it benefits the church. It benefits also unbelievers. It helps us to show God's grace and point people to Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come and we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the guidance of it and the wisdom that it gives to us, Father, and